Twisted Roots by A.G. Parker. Read by A.G. Parker. Chapter 14. Not everybody wants to be looked at. Everybody wants to be seen. Amanda Palmer, The Art of Asking. Your mother was 6 months pregnant with you before she learned the truth about what was happening. Her aunt spread newspaper clippings over the ground. Man's body found in woods after fatal overdose. By then, the witch had grown strong. Local police officer found hanging. Your mother, she hadn't seen it, that it was all messed up and bound to you. We thought it was a coincidence. Hoped it was. Vicar found in rectory with bleach burns around mouth. But every new moon there was a new death, or a suicide, supposedly. Teacher killed boy 8 before taking his own life. She feeds off their deaths, uses their energy to regain her strength. Camping hell for family found murdered, father found with throat slit, prime suspect. And if she could add fear to the mix too, well, it only led to more victims ready for her to take possession of them. Your mother knew she had to stop her. Run of suicides turns village into horror town. Teenagers found with fatal knife wounds in stomach. Children's terror as mother slashes own throat. More dead following gas leak in local school. We came up with a plan. I heard the tree screaming your name. Violet, your mother, died rebinding the witch to that tree. She didn't tell me what she was going to do. We'd discussed it before, came up with a way of doing it. But she promised she'd tell me before she did anything. Let me tell you a secret. But when I got there, your mum was already so weak. She made a promise to keep it from Elliot, to hide the violence of her death from him, from you, so that you two would be happy, so you could have a normal life. I made him forget. This one will die for me. Layla? Her hands buzzed at the end of arms unfelt. The world shrank to 2 pinpricks of colour in front of her, Lorna's voice and the crackling of the wood on the fire distant and stretched. She tried to speak, and her senses slid away. Lorna lowered her niece's head to a cushion and dragged a blanket over her body. She stroked the hair from Layla's face, watching the shadows flit and stutter over her pale skin. Beyond the steady swell of her ribcage, Layla's feet were tangled around the book. The open pages, still showing splashes of red on the sallow blues of faces and limbs. Lorna stretched over Layla's side and slid the book toward her. The firelight picked out headlines and clippings that Lorna begged her eyes not to be compelled to study, for the words shaped moments in her mind, moments of death, of violence, that she wished she had not seen. She looked from their grim lettering to Layla and saw the remnants of violet in her cheeks and in the dark caves that held her eyes. She stroked the mirrored shadows of half-crescents beneath her sister's child's heavy lids. Clawed feet clapped on stone behind her. She turned to face the cat, whose presence seemed to augment the sadness in her heart, as though by him bearing witness the tragedy came more sharply into focus. "She's so young. I forgot. She's just a child." The cat nuzzled into her and she let her face fall into his golden fur. But it lasted only a moment and then he pulled away. Lorna sighed. She knew, yet still she asked. "What, Noon? What is it?" Her heart sank as she heard the reply. "Watch her. I'll go alone." When Layla woke, she found soft, warm fur curled up in the hollow of her stomach, sending snuffled snores out under her armpit. Their breath gently pressed rib and fur together, and Layla felt the ridge of the cat's spine rise and fall with her own. The fire warmed her back, coaxing her body to allow itself to sink once more into cozy darkness. But her mind began to tick over. It started to fumble with words and colours and shapes and, though she could not make sense of them consciously, the mechanisms of her body twigged and her breathing drew sharp and fast. Her muscles switched on and carved her limbs tense and alert, electric shocks of adrenaline skipping through her. The cat shifted, stretched out long against her stomach and exposed his soft neck. Layla fingered the silky patch behind his ears. She looked at his face and found herself smiling at his contentment. and then her eyes skipped to where the box lay closed on the stone floor. All at once, the images she'd pored over with Lorna came flooding into her mind, and with it came scents of hot blood, wet and slippery and metallic, fading ashes and salt and smoke and death and broken bones and chaos. She felt the cat twitch and then the gentle pressure of its paw on her arm. She looked into his pale blue eyes. He blinked slowly and then sauntered to a patch of deerskin by the fire, leaving the path between Layla and the box open, clear. Layla propped herself up on an elbow, noting the slight bruised feeling, and reached her fingertips of the other hand out. She hesitated. What if she didn't? What if she was just on a holiday at her aunt's, and in a month's time she went back to school, having spent a summer playing with her friends? But the cavern loomed reality around her. There was no shred of normality here. Layla studied the images. She met the gaze of corpse and bereaved, and did not blink at the blood, nor at the implements of murder. She read article and summary, taking in details and speculations in the annotated red scribbles, which spun like crimson spiderwebs across the pages. She lifted another edge of paper. "To my darling Layla," it read. She felt sick. "Should my plan not be a success, I pass this knowledge on to you. I hope you will never have to read these words." Layla looked at the cat, who was licking himself in front of the fire. He turned for a moment and then devoted himself to his grooming. Layla bunched up her legs and pressed a finger into the page so that she could trace the words. "Our family journeyed to the village almost as soon as the witch had been discovered. They had tracked her down, her movements across the continents marked in blood. The villagers were manic with grief. Almost everyone had felt the pain of loss by the time we came. She was stronger then, and so full. Her witch's belly grew and swelled until she was fat with the lives of those she had slaughtered. After they killed her, our forebearers encased the spirit of that wicked thing in the twisted skeleton of a tree. They drained the power from it and bound it to themselves so that it could not return without their knowledge. They bought the land that surrounded the tree, ensuring that their kind would keep watch over its evil, that our lineage was to guard and to protect. Needless to say, when one thing is bound to another, the connection goes both ways. By the time I was 6 months pregnant with you, the same number had died under the dark moon. Your magic must have been so powerful. Your father and I debated what to do, but he feared for our safety too much to want me to put my life at risk, and yours. Aunt Lorna and I talked about it too, but I suppose she was too protective of me to approve. They both love me so much. I decided that I would sneak out and confront her, but the weeks dragged by and the moon lost her light, and soon again the witch struck, and I did nothing. And then, one night, I heard the tree whisper your name. And I know I must act, now. I don't know what will happen tonight, but I hope that I will bring you peace and that this page will be burned by your aunt along with the rest of this book, its use having been removed. But if I haven't, know that I love you. And I did as much as anyone would do." Layla reread the pages until her eyes blurred. "I hope you will never have to read these words. I hope that I will bring you peace." The wind whipped through Jacob's hair and teased his balance, as though testing his intentions and his footing. The cigarette between his lips trembled with every gust. He'd wandered around the lighthouse, searching for Layla, Elliot, Lorna, anyone, and then, when the loneliness got too much, headed for the cliff path. The blue sea of the morning had swirled concrete grey and now crashed against the rocks, leaping at their faces with sprayed fingers of rabid foam. He remembered the last trip he'd made with his parents to the beach. His dad had barked at him that Jacob was too old for building sandcastles, and his mother had lain there, smoking cigarette after cigarette, letting their orange tips starve in the sand. He tried to be sad about his dad, but he wasn't. When he sliced through the layers of numb, all he could feel was relief. But when he let himself think about Sam, about what they had been and what they could have been, if he'd just said something, been open, done something, maybe they could have been happy. And if not, then at least maybe he wouldn't be dead. Jacob watched a teardrop plummet to meet the spray and realised he was crying. He couldn't remember the last time he'd cried in daylight. And then it all came out. And it wouldn't stop. And he wanted nothing more than a way out. To not feel this way. To make it end. Layla wiped her cheeks and sniffed. Her mother's words had stopped. She flicked through the rest of the box, but the remainder of the pages were newspaper clippings and home-printed photographs of the crime scenes, obsessively cut out and stored by Lorna. She folded the letter until she could slip it into her pocket and replaced the rest of the contents in the box. The cat winced as Layla tossed the box carelessly away from her, the sound echoing around the cavern, threatening to dislodge the pendants of time-dripped stone. Clippings and photographs spilled out as it struck the floor, the firelight catching the disturbed faces of the murdered. She rested her head into her hands, feeling the muscles in her neck stretch and ease. The cat walked over and rubbed his head on the pointed bone of her elbow, and she let her fingers coil the fur of his neck. Layla! She started. A doorway appeared, and in its centre Lorna crouched low, urging Layla to follow her. Salted wind gusted in and threw the upturned contents of the box around the cavern like confetti from a giant's hand. Hurry! Through the doorway, Layla saw that the sky had brewed great grey storm clouds, menacing and edged with claws of slate. Her feet slid onto the grass as cold pellets of rain began to wrap down on her forehead and strike her cheekbones. There seemed then to be a mountain range between her and the warmth of the fireside. The cold pellets of rain stung and pricked her sluggish senses into waking. They were on the cliff behind the lighthouse. Jacob's back was to the water, but he was looking down, craning his neck over his shoulder as he shuffled clumsily backwards. Lorna closed the doorway and grabbed her arm as she ran forward. "He's been up here for hours. He won't come down. I can't talk to him, Layla. You have to do something, you understand?" Layla felt the blood rush through her ears. She didn't understand. She could barely see. "Jake?" When he didn't respond, she wondered if the wind had snatched away her words. "Jacob, what are you doing? Come inside. I don't know what to do, Lay." Rain plastered his fringe into strips of black across his crumpled brow. His voice came out in jutted sobs. "I miss them. I miss them so much, and I don't know what to do." Layla could see his breath bucking his ribs in irregular spasms. She inched closer. "Won't you come inside, Jake? Everyone's left me, Lay. And where were you? I needed you, and you weren't there. I looked for you. She looked back at Lorna. "I've been in contact with my mum, Jake. There's something going on. Look, Jacob..." Layla's throat closed as she watched her friend take another step backwards. She could feel the slick grass under her own feet and wondered if she were there to watch her friend die. "What? This again? Fuck! You don't have to lie, Layla. Just say it. Nobody wants me anymore." "No, it's true, Jake. Wait, I can show you. You've got me, Jacob. I love you. Trust me." "No. No." As he shook his head, Layla saw his wild eyes under his fringe had turned blank and were unfocused. "I've had enough. I can't take this anymore." He turned to face the water, the rocks. "Lorna, do something." But Layla saw the same blank stare that had fixed in Jacob's eyes mirrored in Lorna's. "Lorna!" Layla was shrieking now, but her aunt seemed lost in her own head, frozen, the last of her strength spent on clinging onto her wooden staff. Layla felt the sound scrape at her throat. Rain clung to the air. "Jake, believe me, turn around. I can prove it all." "I don't care anymore, Layla. I've had it. Layla summoned everything she had. She didn't know what she was doing, but she felt the energy course through her, felt it snapping at her tendons and skin and gathering, painful ice building in the nerve endings of her fingertips. And then she released. She dragged her fingers outward. Her eyes were closed, but she could feel the doorway there in front of her. Her voice hoarse, she managed only a throaty whisper. Jacob! He turned, and Layla saw the shock bolt through him as he realised that there was now a path in front of him leading straight into a firelit cavern. She watched words form on his lips, but if he did manage any sound, the wind and rain whipped it out to sea. How is... Layla watched as the world's gears moved in slow motion. A foot skidded on the grass, an arm flailed up as the rest of Jacob's body followed gravity, and then a flash of skin and cloth as she grabbed onto his wrist and pulled him onto the grass. He remained still beside her, and Layla laid, heart pounding, into the ground, fingering the dent in the mud where Jacob had slipped. She edged past it, the wet grass like a leathery tongue on her knees, and peered over into the churning foam beneath. Layla! She realised how tired she was. Exhausted. Her body felt a dead weight, and she could imagine herself, passively, easily, rolling into the white foam and troubled rocks. Into rest. Layla, come on! Her aunt filled the doorway. She beckoned Layla back into the silent stone. I can't, she tried to say. Help me. I've got nothing left. Layla, she hissed. Layla, close the doorway. Layla summoned the last of her strength, strength she didn't have, crawled to her aunt and sealed the churning elements behind them. End of chapter 14. Twisted Roots was published by Wild Wolf Publishing and is available on Kindle via Amazon or as a downloadable PDF via my website. The links for both of these are in the description of this podcast. You can follow me on social media at @twisted_roots_agparker or @a_g_parker on Instagram. Please head to my website for other details and to keep updated with my poetry, performances, fiction, articles, and more. I hope you enjoyed listening to this latest chapter of Twisted Roots and that you tune in next time.